Today we'll talk about this one message. It's called "What are you clothed in?"
Да, речь пойдет об одежде.
We're going to talk about clothing.
Но это не пойдет, не пойдет о физической одежде.
It's not about physical clothing.
Мерять разрезы, да, и обсуждать, что мы должны носить, что мы не должны носить. Речь пойдет о духовной одежде.
We're going to talk about spiritual clothing. And for this, we will go back to the Garden of Eden. Yes, we'll go to original.
В чем были одеты Адам и Ева?
What were Adam and
Ведь
Eve
то, что Бог
dressed in?
В Эдемском
Because
саду,
what the Lord has created in the Garden of Eden, this is what we were meant to walk in and what we
то,
had to live in.
And
what we lost until this day, we try to restore it. And throughout all these 2,000 years, we're still in the process. So, let's remember this moment when Adam and Eve, they...
Не послушались Бога, да,
they weren't
съели
obedient
этот плод,
to God, they ate of the fruit of the tree, and right away their eyes were open, remember? And what did they
они
see?
Увидели,
they saw
наги,
that they were naked, that they have nothing on them.
Вопрос,
There's this question.
Что было до этого? У них что, зрение было частичное? Они только некоторые части тела, что ли, видели до этого?
They only saw certain parts of their bodies, or...
Что на них было до этого одето? Или, может,
what were they dressed in before?
Что-то было одето, что было снято потом?
Maybe it was something that they had on that was taken off.
Что произошло в этот момент?
What were they dressed in? What happened at that moment?
И, то есть, чего они лишились?
And what was it that was taken away? You all know that God created a man after his likeness and image. The images are outer appearance. We know that God has one head, two hands, not six or 12, like the Hindu gods have. You know? Our God has one head, two hands, two legs. If you look at yourself, you can see how God looks. But he has also created them in his likeness, and inside their very being was like God. So they gave him same feelings, ability to love, ability to feel, to dream, to create. So these first people, they were small copies of God. They were a copy of their father. Do you want to know what God is dressed in? What is he clothed in? I know a lot of people go to heaven and they describe how things are out there. So what is God clothed in? And Bible does tell us. We will read it. Psalm 104, and when we find out what the Lord is dressed in, and what he is wrapped in, and we'll see what was taken off of people. Psalm 104:2, it says, "Oh, you are the one who covers yourself with light, or wrap yourself with light as with a garment."
And then
a little bit before it says, "Oh Lord, you are very great. You're clothed with honor and majesty." God is wrapped in light. This is what his garments are made out of. And guess what Adam and Eve were dressed in when they were just created? They were wrapped in that light. They were clothed in that glory, same light as their father. And when this process happened, where they were not obedient to God, of course, that light was taken off of them. So it's like, I imagine how it all happened. I imagine this way, as if it's some sort of acid or chemical substance that as soon as it gets on something, it starts eating up. Same way with, I believe, with sin. As soon as it entered them, right away, it just got rid of or ate all the light. And afterwards, there's this war of light and darkness. People try to, you know, have the light brought in with their deeds, with their things. They try to have the light back in their life, and it wouldn't work out. This happened like that until Jesus came to earth, until he redeemed humanity. And in this process, darkness pushed out all light. And humanity is still trying to fix themselves. How many of you tried to fix your character or your bad things that you just, you know, like to do? And I tried, you know, to fix all that, tried to get rid of all of these things myself, and it just wouldn't work out. Because without Jesus, you can't fix any of these things. He's the one that does everything. So look. So, what condition did God find humanity when he came to earth? Ezekiel 16. Look, it's a very unique scripture. This is how we looked in the spirit realm before Jesus found us, before encounter with him. Ezekiel 16 глава, 6 по 8 стих. 16, 6 through 8, God is saying, and I passed by you and saw you rolling about in your blood. I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, still in your natural blood live. So this is how we look in the spirit realm. Every one of you looked some certain way in the spirit realm before you had an encounter with Jesus. It's us, those people that have been hurt by life and by our circumstances and tortured by the evil spirits, by people, and we're barely surviving it. You know, when I was reading this scripture, I understood this secret, how to live people that you can't love. How do you love? Remember Jesus said that love your enemies and do pray for them. How many of you tried to do? Do you understand how hard it is to love your enemies and to pray for them? You see them, you really, really, what do I say, probably beat them up. That's probably the least of things that you want to do. Sometimes it's even worse. But look, we as grown Christians, we have to get to this level where when we see a person like this, like we just read in the spirit realm, he is bloodied and he is rolling about in the roads of their life. Sometimes people cause us pain and do evil things because they themselves are wounded and need help. And when we'll start seeing the root of these problems, the spirit realm, how the spirit realm looks, you know, our relationship towards them will change. Our treatment of them will change. We understand that people hurt us because they themselves inside are tortured.
На других.
And this pours out onto others. That's then when you understand this and you get compassion for these people, start loving them, you start understanding. He can be stabbing you in your back and digging your hole, but you know that he himself is tortured. And this is, he's in pain and he's hurting. That's why he's causing you pain. If you remember our previous life before we encountered God, I'm sure every one of us, more than once even, you know, backstabbed some people and caused other things like that because we were tortured. We needed to help ourselves and we didn't even understand how we were hurting these people. And when we will start seeing this sort of condition in these people that need help, we'll start loving them, having compassion towards them, start praying for them. Let's read it again. And the Lord said, when I passed you by and saw you rolling about in your blood, I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, still in your natural blood live. And 8. Now I passed by you again and looked up upon you. Behold, you were maturing and at the time for love, and I spread my skirts over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I plighted my troth to you and entered into covenant with you, says the Lord, and you became mine. Then I washed you with water, yes, thoroughly washed away your clinging blood from you and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with fine leather, and I girded you about with fine linen and covered you with silk. And later on he says how he decks the bride with ornaments and bracelets and chains and necklaces. They all have prophetic meaning. He starts healing and covering up all the areas of your life. He starts healing you and you become a completely different, restored individual. And this is what happens when we have an encounter with God. When our God heals us of our emotional wounds, of our all our stains are washed away. This is how we look in the spirit realm. No longer are we wounded, bloody, poor people. Now we are individuals. We have honor and dignity, and the Lord gives you authority and power. He makes you like Himself. But there's a different category of Christians. Before I go to that, I want for you to notice this. The spirit realm, they see us completely differently than the spirit realm. What you see in the spirit realm, it doesn't matter what car you're driving, is it a Bentley or some sort of Russian car. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your account, $100 or $100,000. It doesn't matter if you're a popular preacher or you're some maybe small person in your own eyes. In the spirit realm,
все на разных местах стоит.
It's all in different places. What people honor and consider important in the spirit realm, it's like the last thing. And I want to confirm this revelation. We'll read Revelation
3:17.
Jesus is saying, for you see, I am rich. I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing. And you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase for me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy and white clothes to clothe you. You know what sort of Christians this is talking about here? I think all of us somewhere, maybe we've encountered maybe ourselves who are like that. It's these people that they think they know everything. They will never accept anything new from another person. They teach about God, but themselves, they're not even sure when was the last time they even had a conversation with God, when was the last time they poured out their heart to Him. But behind a podium, they speak pretty words. And often, we people have been lied to by this outside appearance, by this pride and haughty behavior and appearance, and sometimes we worship these people with such honor for us to shake hands or take a picture with them. And once we do it, we feel like we've accomplished something in life. And in the spirit realm, they see completely different for them. For instance, they might look naked and pitiful and poor. Just because you have a big status in this world, in the church or somewhere else, it says doesn't say that you've achieved some sort of position in the spirit realm. You all know that there are people when they come into some sort of territory or place, the spirit realm starts to react. The demons either start screaming in the presence of that person, or they can attack that person and beat him up. Have you ever thought of that? Why is it that on the outside we're all the same? We all know the scripture. We all can pray. We all can speak pretty and wise, but why is it there's different reaction? You know? If you look in the Bible time, the time where Jesus was alive, before Jesus, their garments or clothing at that time had serious importance, since that's how they knew the status of a person. Slaves had their own garments. The servants of the house had their own garments. People that were authority figures, like in the government positions, they had their own clothing. Also, prophets of those days, they had a certain type of clothing that looked completely different than the clothing that all the other people had on. The bride and the groom, they had their own clothing. People that in mourning, they had completely different clothing as well. So by looking at a person and his clothing from afar, you can see his status or what position he is in. This is the same thing that happens in the spirit realm. You can see her dressed in a t-shirt and jeans and sneakers, but right now, maybe nothing is working out for you, like you have no job, things are not working out here and there, but in the spirit realm, you're sitting there, you're a king, you have a crown upon your head, you're wearing these beautiful garments, and the spirit realm acknowledges your authority, because when you start releasing the word, it starts to change everything around you. Strange things start happening when you come. You know, with us, everything is so flip-flopped in our eyes. We chase after the outside appearance, outside radiance, or some sort of status to prove something to somebody, to show something, to show off. When we start really looking at this, same way, is it? Who are you in the spirit realm? How do you look in the spirit realm? Are you this poor beggar, naked? Or are you this prideful person, and you have to pray to the Lord, Lord, change me. Put the garments of praise upon me. There's another category of people. It is written in Revelation 7:9. This is the vision that John had. He said,
After this I looked, and a vast host appeared, which no one could count, gathered out of every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. These stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were attired in white robes and palm branches in their hands. So he saw upon heaven these saved nations, people, they have been washed by blood of Jesus, they have garments. So these people, they have some sort of status in heaven. But notice this, this was a crowd, a great multitude of people. And I believe that these are the people, they're saved, but they didn't achieve maturity. I believe that these are the people that will be saved in the last days, when there will have the great harvest, when the bride will rise up and will go and gather the harvest. Or is these people that decided to remain on a certain spiritual level? Yes, they're saved, they're washed by the blood. They confess Lord Jesus as their Savior, and often they're also involved in some sort of ministries or service, like Sunday school or home groups. But they renounced to move further. Lord, I'm okay here, I'm great here, I'm comfortable, so I feel you touching me in your presence, I feel your spirit, I love receiving gifts from you, and I'm okay with it, I'm content right here. This is where I want to stay. I think that this is what majority of churches are made up of, about 90%, when you come up to a person and you ask them, do you have a dream? My dream is to finish college, to become somebody important. Do you have any other dreams? And then probably to get married, and then to buy a house. And this is where the dream is over. And later on, how about God? Are you dreaming about anything with God? Well, everything is good. We have great youth services. We have great hangouts. We hang out. We do these concerts, and we go here and there. And we do all these different parties and gatherings, and you listen. And this is it? This is it? This is where it's all over with? Oh, sometimes we do nightly prayers. The Lord touches us. We have, people crying. And you say, this is it? And they ask, what is there? What else is there? And you talk to them, and about 90% of people, this is their mindset. And I believe that, yes, they're saved. They will be before the throne of God with the palm branches. They will worship. But that's the majority of Christians. Do you know, the Lord wants to challenge you. There's another category of Christians, and that category is written in. I'll say later on where it is written. I want to talk to you about something else right now. There's another category of Christians. They see everything around themselves, and they're sick of it. They believe that there's something so much more. They want to go back into the very original, the source, into this light, what Adam and Eve were dressed in. They wanted to go back there, and they started praying this sort of prayer. Prayer is in Philippians
3.
At one certain time in my life, I prayed this prayer. If only I knew what I prayed for, I probably think about it before. Because we as people, we pray, and then we forget what we prayed about. But the Lord does remember. He remembers how genuinely you were crying and asking for this, and how you dedicated himself. And so he starts moving according to this prayer. So,
Philippians
3:8. Yes, we're talking about a category of people that were not content with having what everybody else has. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possessions of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and the progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and considered all to be mere rubbish, refuse, and garbage, in order that I may win Christ, the Anointed One. So, Lord,
Просто приведу пример, как бы, давно из нашей
says this.
Господь, I'll give you an example.
Lord, I give you everything. I'll leave my old hangouts, the people that I
курил, гулял,
smoke or whatever, hang out
Но,
with.
Господь,
But, Lord, this is how youth probably think, but, Lord, in our church, there aren't any groomsmen, there aren't any guys, available guys or available girls. And, Lord, if I'm not going to start looking, if I'm not going to appear by myself, I understand there's anointing here. I know that there's life, but I need to work on my life. And, you know, and I notice how youth, young ones, because of this, they leave churches into big churches where there's a crowds of youth, and they start showing off before each other like peacocks. And it's still like that. Quite a few of them are still chasing their grooms and brides, and they're still not married. And they gave everything to the Lord, but there's this small thing, Lord, but Lord, seriously, but this is important for me. I'm going to keep for myself, and as soon as I take care of it, then I'll come back and I will dedicate myself fully, complete to you. For some people, they gave everything away. When you start praying this life of dedication, maybe the Lord touched you and you said, Lord, seriously, I give you my whole life. I don't want anything else in this world, anything that has nothing in common with you. I'm ready to leave everything, everything that keeps me away from you, everything that blocks you away from me, or me away from you, just take it away from my life. And maybe quite a few of them started noticing these things started happening. Everything that you love and you consider so precious just leaves your life. Your relationships fall apart, like maybe with your friends or relatives. And, finances could be, flowing away, just disappearing. Work, your best friend betray you. You are the popular topic of many gossips. You're attacked by sickness, but there's no healing. Maybe you lose a close person in your life. Or
В общем, в глазах других ты становишься просто провалом, как бы и позором, если смотреть на тебя. То есть там люди уже чего-то в своей жизни достигают, уже куда-то уже состоялись как-то. Ты сидишь,
знаете, в каком-то дыре и
служишь из слез. И у тебя ничего нет, у тебя есть только любовь, и чем больше ты посвящаешься,
тем больше этот кошмар начинает приходить в твою жизнь. Знаете, это случилось со мной. Я помолилась эту молитву, я не знала, как я молилась, но я знала, насколько это серьезно. I didn't know how serious this is.
Я вошла в этот сезон,
entered into this season where a couple of years.
Я не понимала.
I didn't understand. I was thinking maybe it's the demons that attacked me. I was casting out demons from my life. Nothing was leaving. I thought it was curses. Started destroying curses, generational curses, and horizontal curses, and vertical curses, like we do it in countess. Nothing is happening. So Lord, change something. I'm just going insane here. I don't understand what's happening. I'm just like, I have this offense at people because of the circumstances. Get offended with God, confusion, what is happening in my life, why I'm looking at other churches, friends or Christians, everything is going great, they're like in praising God, and they have blessings from everywhere, and I'm sitting here like giving everything that I can. I'm not talking about just money, I'm talking about just things in my life, and I'm sitting there and I'm this whole like none of them ever were in that situation. They look at you like, oh, you're like this awesome church, look at what you're in. If it's one thing then the other thing, you wake up every morning and you don't know what side you're going to get beat up on, and you know that you're going to get beat this day, and you have to know where you should defend yourself. And so I was angry. I was angry at God. I said, Lord, why? Why me, Lord? And the Lord started reminding me of this prayer. He said, remember you were praying. Remember you asked for me to take everything away that keeps you away from me, everything that keeps you far away from me. He started showing me scriptures, Revelation 5. 10.
He
showed me a couple of scriptures, and I understood why this is all happening. Revelation 5:10. And again, this is another thing that John saw in his vision. You have made them a kingdom, royal race, and priests to our God. and they shall reign as kings over the earth. You see the difference in Revelations 3:17, yeah, when they're just standing there with palm branches, and then this generation that you've made a king and priest to our God, and they shall reign over the earth, on the earth, not on heaven when we will get there, no, here on the earth, reign right here on the earth by when we live here. Already the Lord is selecting these people that he will entrust great authority in. He will give them great popularity and influence, and you know, this, how should I say, it's the forbidden fruit that a lot of people are after at the moment. They try to just make people as their stepping stools to go promote themselves higher in this ladder, but the Lord says you'll never achieve that. No matter how hard you try, you'll never achieve it. You, this is what you will receive once you go through the time of preparation, once you go through horrible pain, through things like this in your life. And another scripture, Revelation 20:24, he said, and then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority and acts as judges and to pass a sentence was entrusted to. They will judge the world and the angels. You understand what sort of power this is and authority. Oh, you're thinking, oh, when is this going to happen? Somewhere far away. No, it's reality. It's already happening right now. This is what's happening on the earth. It's happening in heaven. Do you remember what sort of power and authority prophets walked in? One word, lock up heaven. One word, and a person seriously could die from committing some sort of sin. They didn't really like lie in the face. They just didn't speak the truth. And afterwards, people died. You understand the power and authority that the Lord gave them. And it's not for someone who is like special. The Lord is a just God. He gives everyone this challenge. Where will you want to stay? Like, where would you be content? Just white garments? Or you want to go further? If you just have white garments, you'll notice and you see, observe things from afar, where you'll see the other individuals is taking on this challenge. The pain or no pain, good or bad, I'm going to go through it. I want to be victorious. I want to see what this is. What sort of reward is awaiting me at the end? Disciples didn't see it. They were waiting for this time. They were dreaming about this time. They didn't see it. They died before this time. They didn't see it. And I said, Lord, what is this? I want to try it. I want to see it. So there's this level that is so much bigger. Look, righteousness, these people that are dressed in white garments of righteousness, righteousness is not ours, it's a gift. Everything that you need to do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you'll be covered by His righteousness. But to become these kings and priests, being these people of great influence that really the Lord will give you nations and trust you with nations, these are thousands of people. It's not just Facebook. You have somebody liked your post, 50 likes or something like that. I'm so popular, and then compare who has more likes. Can you imagine? It's real people that, by encountering you, by seeing you, just want to touch you to receive some sort of impartation. Can you imagine this level of power and what a person has to go through? Death to himself. So amongst all this glory and authority that the Lord trusts into you, that you remain your simple you. Never take this glory to yourself. The more horror you go through in your life, the more injustice is done. So that's what I decided, to go to the end, not to ask many questions. Why? When is this going to be over? How long is this going to last? Why is it, this person has less, I have more? Why is everything is going against me? You know, I had all these questions. I was so angry. And then the Lord started showing me this. I started loving the process of pain. It sounds strange, but I started enjoying the process of pain. And this peace came to me. I said, Lord, this is why. So the truth, I was speaking with my husband Dennis. I said, Dennis, can you imagine? Life is going to, all of a sudden, is calm, and you wake up in the morning, there aren't any attacks. It's all good. It's really good for you. so fuzzy and warm. You don't need to battle. You need to go through any attacks.
And
honestly, we're so much into these daily battles that we can't even imagine other life. And honestly, I don't want any other life. But this one, because this is where you see the glory of God, you start seeing and experience such things that you would have never seen it if it was all peachy for you. Started loving the season, maybe not understanding things completely. Like, for instance, I don't understand what's happening around me, but I understand this is the will of the Lord. I can't change anything. I can't do anything about it. I started loving. I started asking, Lord, let me understand what is happening and the right reaction towards these things, not to blame people or circumstances, but just to love and to go through all these things and just die to self more and more. You know what I noticed? I noticed how my heart started changing. The things that I tried to change in my character or my maybe unclean motives, right now, it started just breaking off itself. And you don't even notice how it just leaves. Yes, it's a process. Yes, it's painful, but every day you wake up and you say, wow, I'm different than I was yesterday. I don't react to these things like I used to react. I don't react to offenses or when somebody's gossiping about me. I really don't care. It's all passing me by. I have other things that I think about and dream about. I don't even want to discuss all these things or gossip or, you know, quarrel. For instance, like a brother sinned against you, call him and talk to him one-on-one if he's not obedient. Like, I remember all of this from other churches, like from your younger days. There's this process. You know what? You can do whatever you want against me. I really don't care. I have a completely different goal. I have a different vision. I have a prize that I'm trying to attain. And I know that by not going through this short process, I will not get where I have to be. This is a secret. How to enter to the status of these kings, of these victorious ones. By not going through this process of pain, you'll not get there. Why a lot of people stop halfway there? The Lord starts taking them through this season of cleanliness, season of purifying fire, refining fire. They don't understand this, and then this path, they just give up, and they stop moving forward because it's painful, because when you really go through it, you need to have supernatural strength and perseverance to go through it. I think you understand me. You know how many times I had this opportunity or just this idea to just drop everything? Why do I need this? Do I need this really? I just want to be a normal person. And then I thought, what is a normal person to live truthfully? What is it to be a normal person? Yes. You have three cars in your garage, yes. You have vacations every 6 months or whatever, yes. Everything will be great for you. Will this satisfy me? Is this what I want? I know that through all of it, I'll still be miserable, I'll still be empty. When the Lord has placed something inside of you, he just will not let you rest. No matter how hard you'll try to run away from it, as if someone has placed something inside of you, you can't even take it out of yourself, like this desire from the Lord. And we'll read Romans 8:19. Tanya, she came out to write a testimony. It's like a prophetic confirmation. This is the generation that is raising up. You all know it. We've read the scripture many, many times. This is the generation that the Lord is raising up right now in these last days. These people with this crazy hunger and thirst that died to this world. They died to themselves. They really don't care. So what if everything will be taken away from them? Everyone turns their back on them, but they have this one dream, one this goal, one purpose is to achieve this. 8:19, Romans 8:19. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's Son to be made known, waits for revelation of their sonship. These are the children, people of light that will enter into this light that was lost by Adam and Eve. They'll be clothed back into this glory and this light. Not only are they going to have garments of salvation, and a free gift that Jesus gave us. This is a little deeper. People will walk in the light. This glory will be in them, around them. These are the people that will walk in this glory. Look.
Что же это люди? Что же это?
Who are these people? What is this light?
Они подобны Богу.
These people are like God. They
are
His physical manifestation on this earth.
Лишь физическая оболочка.
All of the left of them is physical shell or outline. They are captivated by God's thoughts, His actions. It's God inside the man. It's these people that cannot stay quiet. One word spoken by them moves the whole heaven and all angelic realm. There's glory inside of them, around them. Everything that they touch starts to transform, come alive. Every word is energized by the Holy Spirit, fire that's been released in their atmosphere to set others on fire. Hell trembles from them and heaven is in great rejoicing. But you know what? For all of this, there is this one thing.
И это условие тоже написано в Римлянам, в той же главе, но чуть-чуть выше.
To happen. It's also in the book of Romans, chapter 8, 17.
Павел пишет.
Paul writes, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering. It's the key, suffering, right here, key word, if we are to share His glory. Okay? It doesn't say that we're going to repent, we can't receive Christ, and let's say we're in the glory. No, no, no. There's a certain amount of time or this pathway that you have to go through. It's called suffering. They all try to run away from it. They try to enter other doors, go straight to glory, but you can't. The doors will not open. The key is suffering. 18. But what of that? For I consider that suffering of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and comfort on us. For you, this glory will be given to you. You're thinking, who are you? I can't do anything. I don't know anything. I don't even know who I am. But for you, everything that you need is to pray the prayer of Ephesians and start not being amazed when something starts happening with your life. Do not panic. Just go through all of it and dream about what the Lord is preparing for you. The other scripture that we're going to read is 1 Peter. Another key to the glory.
Дорогие мои,
beloved,
пусть вам не кажется странным,
do not consider it strange,
что приходится терпеть мучительные испытания. Знаете, мне очень
go through these horrible sufferings. I really like the new translation. In the old translation, it says, just be joyful when you go through trials and tribulations. It is written here, when you have to go through these horrible sufferings, so you can see yourself in it. If you're suffered, you can't sleep at night, and you have to take sleeping pills, something is happening. Do not be amazed and bewildered at the fire ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual has befallen you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, rejoice so that when His glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph. Exultantly. When I was reading the scripture before, I said, Lord, are you kidding me? I am so suffering here. I'm barely making it. I'm trying to survive here day by day. It's so morally hard and just like really tough on me. I wasn't even considering being joyful. And then the Lord started revealing to me about the sons and daughters of light, what He wants His children to walk and move in. You know, I started loving and rejoicing. Okay, so another thing comes into your life, something that you have to deal with. Okay, this is another sign that I'm moving towards the glory. This is another sign that I'm on the way to glory, because glory without suffering, you can't attain that. With everyone, it's their different thing. With one person, it's like a loss of a beloved person. The Lord will test you in that. You know, maybe a husband or wife will not understand you.
то место, куда ты входишь, там твоя церковь или я выбираю.
She, for instance, could tell you, you either choose God or me.
Меняет,
and if this is a place where God is changing you, you're transforming, and you're growing. And then you have to make a decision. What do I choose? This person that I love or this calling from God? But if you were faithful, if you were strong, often these people return into your life. They don't always leave forever. Sometimes you have to stay firm till the end. I was complaining about my destiny. I was waiting for all of this to be over. I said, I want to be like a normal person, waking up in the morning and sing happy songs and not to wait for another fist to fly in my face. So, you cannot be in the glory if you don't go through this process of suffering. I think this is what Jesus was talking about the narrow gates. There's not a lot of people can find the narrow gate.
He said,
not a lot of people that are really crazy for God, because they don't care about all the tax and pain that goes against them. They just hold on to their life and just go through all of this time of preparation, of cleanliness, of refining fire, and they're waiting for God to really pour out something into their lives.
So, Бог вам сегодня бросает вызов.
The Lord is challenging
us.
What do you want to be clothed in? And this is our goal, is to go back and be dressed, clothed and wrapped in this light, to become children, sons and daughters of light, to be clothed in His garments, to go and change things and gather the harvest for the last day. The Lord is challenging you. I don't know what you're dressed in today, what you're clothed in today. Maybe you're bloodied and wounded. Maybe you didn't encounter God. Maybe you're saved and you receive these garments of salvation, but maybe you stopped at some sort of level and you don't want to go further. But I want to say this, the Lord has something so much more for you than you have. He sees you in this light like Adam and Eve. He sees you like that.
Because God never meant
for us to be just saved. You know, religion, the devil through religion perverted so many different things. The whole meaning of cross, of salvation, is for us to just simply be saved and make it to heaven. That's it. And then the devil will not let you go further. As soon as the Lord starts giving you something new, showing you something new, no. You're created to sit with me on the throne. You know how many? At this time, there's so many empty thrones in the kingdom of God. Thrones that have been, should have been taken by His children. Thrones that have been taken by the people that have sold themselves completely and decided to go to the end. These thrones are empty. And I believe that the Lord is crying over these thrones. Yeah, His goal is not just to save you, just save you and take you to heaven. He sees you with a crown upon your head right there next to Him as a child. Child of light, wrapped in light into His glory. How Bible says, He is our older brother, so we are His heirs. So whatever He's wrapped in, clothed in, it belongs to you. And it's up to you. How far do you want to go? It's up to you. Are you going to receive this call? So I'm challenging you. I don't want to take up much time.
I just want to invite you to come forward.
And those who want to take up the challenge and say, God, I want to take up this challenge and I want to follow and I want to go to the end. I decide to pay the price. I will not ask much questions. I do understand it or I do not understand it. I'm not going to pay attention to how other people live around me. My point, my destination point is you. I want to enter into that glory. I want to be the child of light. This is why I invite you to come forward and just say the prayer to Him. If you're really ready for that prayer, please come forward. If you're going to pray that prayer and you did not pray before, there will be very weird things happening in your life. But you know what? You will love it. Because God will show you what exactly He is preparing for you, and you will love it way more.
And you're going to
say, give me more,
I
want more, this pain is not that irritating anymore, I want more, I want more. And with you, I will be dedicating myself over again. So let's just take a few minutes.
Спасибо, Иисус.
Thank you, Jesus.
Спасибо, Иисус. Любимый наш Господь.
Our beloved Jesus.
Мы говорим тебе, да, Отец. Мы берем этот
we
вызов.
Say yes to you. We accept the
мы берем
challenge.
Этот вызов, Господь.
We accept the challenge.
Мы хотим вернуть то, что потеряли Адам и Ева, Отец.
To return what Adam and Eve
мы хотим войти в то,
we want to enter.
Что мир, Господь, пытается уже войти 2000 лет назад, what и то, что было украдено у Твоей
we're
Церкви.
To enter for 200
это слава,
years
Отец. That glory, это слава Твоя.
That glory
это Твой свет, в котором мы должны ходить,
light,
Отец. Который должен окутать нас, Иисус. Мы говорим Тебе, да, Иисус.
Yes
мы говорим Тебе, да.
Yes
мы берем этот вызов.
We take up
мы не смотрим на обстоятельства. Мы не смотрим на боль, Господь.
Pain,
мы хотим, Господь, Тебя, Иисус. Ты наш приз. Наши глаза только на Тебе, Господь. Мы понимаем, что мы живем в нелегкое время, Иисус. Мы понимаем, Господь, что Дух мира говорит нам совсем другое, Отец. Дух мира говорит, что нужно состояться в
saying that we need
Дух
to be
мира говорит, что нужно позаботиться о себе в этой жизни. Но я знаю, Господь, что когда мы начинаем смотреть на Тебя и Ты заботишься о нас, Господь,
you
Ты покрываешь нужды, Отец, которые должны быть покрыты. Поэтому мы доверяем Тебе. Мы соглашаемся, Отец, добровольно. Если нам нужно пройти какую-то боль, если нам нужно пройти что-то, мы соглашаемся, Иисус. Мы соглашаемся, Господь. И тем, что мы стоим сейчас здесь перед Тобой, Отец, это то, что мы заключаем с Тобой завет, Иисус. Пройти, Господь, и заплатить любую цену, Отец, которую Ты нам скажешь. Пройти любую подготовку, которую Ты нам скажешь, Отец. Вот мы, Иисус. Вот мы, Отец. Запечатай нас. Отдели нас, Иисус. Мы хотим заполнить эти пустые троны, которые стоят у Твоего трона, Отец. Эти пустые троны будут заполнены. Мы берем этот вызов, Господь. Мы хотим стать этими, Отец, людьми, которые займут свои места престола. Мы не созданы, чтобы просто спастись. Мы не созданы, чтобы просто попасть на небо, Отец. Ты имеешь намного больше для нас. Мы берем этот вызов. Мы говорим да, Отец.
We say yes to you.
Мы говорим да.
We say yes to you.
Мы говорим да, Иисус. Мы говорим да. Потому что время церкви подняться. Время церкви повзрослеть. Время церкви войти в зрелость. Это время войти в церковь в зрелость. Невозможно быть зрелым без боли.
It's
невозможно стать зрелым, не пройдя никакую боль, не пройдя никакую подготовку. Поэтому мы говорим «Да, Отец». Мы согласны,
yes.
Господь. Умереть для себя. Умереть для этого мира. Умереть для мнения людей. Мы готовы пожертвовать нашим статусом в жизни, Отец. Мы готовы идти глубже. Мы готовы идти дальше. Мы хотим полностью видеть Твой план, Отец, за Твоей церкви. Есть много тайн, которых еще не открыто церкви. Есть много тайн, которые Господь сохраняет. И есть люди избранные, которые принесут эти тайны, которые принесут эти ключи на землю. И ты можешь быть этим человеком, который принесет очередной ключ для церкви этого времени. Полностью отрешены для этого мира, Отец.
They have to be dead for the world.
Мы эти люди.
And we
мы
are
это поколение.
We are that generation.
Мы это поколение,
we are the generation.
Вот я, Иисус. В Возьми меня, Иисус.
Here's me, Lord, take me.
Вот я, Господь.
I'm right here.
Возьми меня.
Take me.
Возьми мое сердце.
Take my heart.
Убей все, что нет тебя, Отец.
Kill everything that
Вычисти, Иисус.
Clean
Оторви все, что держит меня от тебя. Оторви все, что держит еще в этой земле. Оторви, Господь. Оторви, Иисус. Оторви, Господь. Пусть мы будем непонятны для этого мира. Пусть мы станем насмешкой для этого мира. Но нам важно, Господь, во что мы одеты, Отец, в духовном мире. Нам важно, какая одежда на нас в духовном мире, Отец. Потому что все, что физическое, это временно. Физическое приходит и уходит. Но то, что надето в вечности, это навсегда. Вечности это навсегда.
The eternity is forever.
Нас не волнует физический мир, Господь. Физический мир идет к концу. Наступает новая эра. Эра Его небесной. Эра подготовки к вечности. Весь этот сезон. Все это новое время сейчас, в которое мы вошли, это все насчет подготовки к вечности. Мы вошли в сезон подготовки к вечности. Больше нет времени созидать свою жизнь. Больше нет времени гоняться за миражами. Больше нет времени разворачивать себя. Нет времени подготовка к вечности. Подготовка к Его царству. Подготовка к Его царству. Подготовка к Его славе. Господь, мы взяли этот вызов. Мы заключаем этот завет с Тобой. Завет, идти до конца. Это наше обещание тебе сегодня. Не остановиться. Как бы ни было трудно, как бы ни было невозможно, как бы ни было, Господь, непонятно. Мы заключаем завет, идти до конца. Идти до конца. Идти до конца. В глубину тебя. Узнать твой план. Войти в твой план. Славы. Спасибо, Отец. Эти временные трудности, это временное страдание, это ничто по сравнению с тем, какая слава идет для Твоей Церкви. Это ничто по сравнению с тем, что Ты приготовил для Твоих людей, потому что не слышала еще ухо и не видела глаз. Еще не видела земля, Отец, что Ты приготовил в последнее время для Своих детей. Осознаем, Отец. Это не просто пустые слова. Это не просто пустые слова, Отец. Мы имеем в виду то, что мы говорим. Мы имеем в виду то, что мы сейчас обещаем. Мы понимаем, насколько это серьезно, Отец. Мы не играем в игры. Мы не играем просто, Господь, на показуху, Отец. Нам не перед кем, Господь, показывать себя, Иисус. Все, что мы стоим, Господь, все, что мы делаем, стоим перед Тобой с обнаженным сердцем. С обнаженным сердцем. Чтобы Ты убрал, Господь, всю грязь, Отец. Все нечистые мотивы, Иисус. И дал жажду только по Тебе. По чистоте, Господь. Жажду по Твоей славе. Это то, с чем мы стоим сейчас, Господь. С обнаженным сердцем. С обнаженным сердцем мы отдаем его сейчас Тебе, Отец. Окутай его, Отец. Окутай в его славу. Забери, Отец, наше сердце. Дай нам взамен Твое, Отец. Мы отдаем Тебе наше сердце, чтобы дать, чтобы взять Твое сердце, Господь. Чтобы Твои мечты, они вошли в нас и стали частью нас. Чтобы Твои мечты, они просто завладели нами. Чтобы они стали нами, Господь. Это наша мечта, Отец. Это наша мечта. Мы знаем, Отец, мы не останемся. остаемся такими же самыми после того, как ты, Иисус. Мы понимаем серьезность того, о чем молимся. И мы все равно хотим, Господь. Потому что так любишь своих детей. Но прежде чем ты им доверишь что-то огромное, ты должен провести их, Господь. Ты должен провести их через смерть, Господь. Как ты прошел через смерть, Господь, и вошел в славу. Так и мы, Господь, у нас нет выбора, как умереть для себя, для этого мира и одеться в твою славу, Отец. Если это сделал ты, Иисус, у нас нет выбора, как это сделать. И мы любим тебя. Потому что настоящая невеста — это не та, которая делит его радости. Это не та, которая делит его благословение. Настоящая невеста, которая делит его боль. И которая делит его бремя. Настоящая невеста, она не отступает, когда приходится пройти через ломку, через смерть. Только тогда она сможет стать подобным ему. Невозможно стать подобным ему без боли. Невозможно стать подобным ему без боли. Это то, что отличает настоящую, очищенную невесту от просто спасенных людей. Поэтому принимай меня, Отец. Я влюблена, Господь, в сезон боли. Я влюблена в сезон боли, Господь. Я влюблена в сезон боли, Иисус. Потому что ты что-то делаешь с моим сердцем, Отец. Мое сердце поддается такой обработке, Господь, которая не смогла ничего сделать для этого. Спасибо, Иисус. Ты знаешь, Господь, как убить все амбиции. Ты знаешь, Господь, как убрать все нечистое.
Спасибо.
Спасибо, Иисус. Спасибо, Иисус. Спасибо, Иисус. За этих посвященных людей. Я верю, Господь, эти троны будут заполнены. Те люди, которые отказались от тронов. Поднимается новое поколение, которое заполнит их людей. Я верю, что возле тебя не будет пустых престолов. Возле тебя не будет пустых престолов, Отец. Возле тебя не будет пустых престолов. Поколение славы. Поколение света. Поколение огня. Поколение жизни. Поколение Бога. Новое поколение. Спасибо, Иисус.
Thank you, Father.
Спасибо, Отец.